You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, September 26th. Columbia Memorial Hospital is about to jump into the second phase of construction for a major expansion project at its Astoria campus, but federal funding for the project remains in limbo. Continuing to move forward could put that money in jeopardy if it ever does become available again, but hospital leaders say they can't push pause on the project now. Katie Frankowitz reports.
This week, the hospital would have expected to move into parts of the project that have to do with making a new building resilient in the face of earthquakes, tsunamis, and other natural disasters. Those components were supposed to be funded by a $20 million grant provided through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. But the Trump administration abruptly canceled the program behind the grant this spring. CEO Eric Thorson says the hospital is ready for the next phase of construction, whether the federal money is there or not.
Up to this point, we have checked every box necessary. We are following every criteria set out in the BRIC grant material to ensure our eligibility. But with no answers from FEMA, it's very challenging to know what impact our decision to proceed without, you know, official approval for phase two will mean.
Oregon Senators Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden and U.S. Representative Suzanne Bonamici have called for the federal government to honor its commitment to the rural hospital, but a spokesperson for Merkley's office told KMUN they have yet to receive any response. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
Many Northwest pharmacies, including Safeway and CVS, say they are offering updated COVID-19 vaccines without a prescription. That's after Oregon's Pharmacy Board voted last week to stop following CDC recommendations and to follow guidelines from state health officers instead. Amelia Templeton reports.
In Oregon, pharmacists can give the COVID-19 shot to adults and children ages 7 and up. In Washington, some pharmacies may be able to vaccinate children as young as 6 months, but it varies. The shot is also available at many primary care offices and clinics. On Friday, advisors to the CDC said the shots should be available to anyone 6 months and up, but only after a conversation with a doctor, nurse, or pharmacist about benefits and risks. Oregon and Washington health officials, meanwhile, recommend the booster for all adults 65 and up, children between 6 months and 2 years old, pregnant people, and adults and children with conditions like diabetes and asthma that increase the risk of severe disease. In Portland, I'm Amelia Templeton.
Last month, the Tillamook County Sheriff's Office removed multiple abandoned vehicles, including 4 abandoned RVs, from roadsides across the county. It was a collaborative process that involved working with staff from the Departments of Public Works and Community Development, the county's Solid Waste Administration, and Burdens Towing. Removal of an abandoned RV also requires an inspector to come out and test the vehicle for asbestos. That testing and resulting remediation costs, combined with the costs of towing and storing the vehicles, makes their removal a particular challenge. Tillamook County Commissioner Paul Fournier has been working on a plan to make the abandoned vehicle issue easier and more cost-effective to handle moving forward. Fournier says he plans to work with different county departments to identify a suitable home for a full-time code enforcement officer. He also says he would like to train a county employee to perform the necessary asbestos inspections on RVs, which would significantly reduce the cost of testing. As Tillamook County is in the process of updating ordinances for code enforcement, Fournier says he's working on an ordinance that would limit parking and roadside pullouts to 8 hours. On Monday, Miami Foley Road in Tillamook County will be closed during the day at Crystal Creek as crews continue work on the project to replace the Crystal Creek and Dry Creek bridges. The closure Monday will last roughly from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and only a single lane of Miami Foley Road will reopen Monday afternoon. For a detour around the closure, drivers should use Highway 101. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. It's wine harvesting season across the country, when winemakers usually pick their grapes and start crushing them. But with the world wine market sluggish the last few years, many in the U.S. industry say they're so backed up with unsold wine, they're dropping grapes to the ground or not harvesting them at all. As NWPB's senior correspondent Anna King reports, some say it's the worst year the wine industry has seen in decades.
Red Mountain in Washington is among the state's premier wine-growing spots. Sarah Goodhart watches as a hulking mechanical harvester straddles a row of grapes at her family's vineyard, Hedges Family Estate. It rattles the vines from both sides, and all her hard work drops onto a conveyor belt and then gets dumped on the ground.
It's wine that's never going to be made, and for a vintage as good as we're having this year, it's pretty painful.
Goodhart is the top winemaker here and has been through almost 24 harvests. But this is the first year she's thrown fruit away. That's because her cellar is stuffed to the rafters with barrels of the previous 2 years of wine that haven't sold.
It's pretty typical to have the previous vintage in barrel during harvest, but not two vintages in barrels.
They're harvesting half of their grapes and dropping half. If they leave the fruit on the vine, she says the plants could be at risk for fungus and diseases. Goodhart says they want to make sure the vines stay healthy so they can keep producing wine if the market comes back.
What everyone is saying in the industry is we're at the low of the low, and it's going to get better, and we're going to readjust.
The Hedges sales last year were down 13% from the year before, and they've cut about that in expenses and staff to keep solvent. Now her family is having to dip into personal assets. This isn't just happening in Washington.
Today, the California wine industry is facing one of the most serious downturns that we've seen in decades, and it's not really because of one singular issue. It is a combination of challenges all hitting at once.
Natalie Collins is the president of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers based in Sacramento. She says the uncertainty of tariffs is causing uncertainty in the markets for one, and retaliatory measures from other countries have hit exports hard. But also, over the past few years, she says global demand for wine has declined. In part, that's due to competition from other beverages like beers, ciders, seltzers, cocktails, NA drinks, and cannabis products, and increasing concerns about the health risks of drinking.
We're seeing new generations not drinking as much alcohol as past generations have.
She says that's led to an oversupply of wine globally. Some places are ripping out their vineyards or abandoning them. Meanwhile, on the East Coast, Chris King with the New York State Wine Grape Growers says he knows several vineyards that are very near to going out of business.
It's your neighbors. You feel their hardship, you feel their pain, and to see somebody who has put their life and their fortune and their dreams into this business and have it go away is just really sad to watch.
While right now the impact of the grape glut is mostly being felt by those in the wine industry, some think that eventually it could impact consumers. Adam Schultz runs Incredible Bulk Wine Company in Washington State, which makes matches between winemakers and companies looking for bulk wine or wine grapes.
So at some point we're going to cross the threshold where there isn't enough bulk wine inventory, there aren't enough grapes in the ground.
He says that as more vineyards scale back, eventually the industry might resize so small that years from now, we might be looking at a wine shortage. I'm Anna King on Red Mountain in Washington State.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.